This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and that church is located on 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, and there's a lot of new businesses that have come into the area there, and even there's an occasional farmer's market that showed up from time to time in the neighborhood, and a veterinarian, an orthodontist, just all sorts of little businesses that are going on, some restaurants and things of that nature. So there's a buzz of activity, and you know, one of the things that we would like to see is that there would be an increased presence of the Lord in the Merritt Park Place subdivision. And so that's one of the things that we strive to do, because we want God not just to visit us at Merritt Assembly of God, we want him to abide there, dwell there, and be pleased with his people there. And so we'd like to invite you out to come and join us, be a part of Merritt Assembly of God, because we are blessed to be a blessing, and that's to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing in, to the community in that order, and be a blessing spiritually, relationally, however we can be a blessing. That's what we strive to do. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air, based in Rockledge, Florida, but they travel all over Brevard County, from the southern end down in Barefoot Bay all the way up to Scottsmoor. And so wherever you are, they can get to you. They've been providing professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and electrical issues for 50 years or more. They work in residential settings primarily, but do some light commercial work as well. They provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. I was sitting out on my back porch here a couple of weeks ago, and I heard my air conditioner, and it was making a noise that seemed a little louder than usual. And my air conditioner is still working fine, but I said, you know what? I need to call the folks at Wyrick Air, because Dennis told me about one of the units at church that was making this noise. It said, that unit needs a little help. We need to install something to give it a little bit of a boost. And so you don't even have to have a problem where your air conditioner is not working. Your air conditioner could benefit from a tune-up to where it works more efficiently, works better so that it doesn't break. It's been a long, hot summer, and thankfully the cooler weather is on its way. But if you need an AC company, a great resource for you might be Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air, 321-632-9538. We thank them for being a blessing to the kingdom of God and to the Refresh Radio program. So today we're going to go back to Psalm 106. And yesterday, and I had the day before, I had talked about that if you wanted to destroy your prayer life, you know, Psalm 106 gives you a pretty good recipe of how, if you want to destroy your praise life, Psalm 106 gives you a pretty good recipe or pattern to follow. You forget God. You don't listen to God as the source of wisdom. Put carnal desires before spiritual desires. You starve yourself spiritually. Replace God with something you can see. Forget God. Reject what God has provided for you. Don't believe God's word. Complain. Embrace an immoral lifestyle and rebel against God. Those are what we have talked about so far. Today, I'd like to frame that same topic in a diagnostic manner and say, if you are not praising God the way that you should, you may want to check with Psalm 106 and see if any of the issues the Israelites were dealing with may be an issue that you are dealing with. See if there's anything on the list that is showing up that may be short-circuiting your spiritual activity of praising God. We don't want that. We want to praise God. We're going to be praising and worshiping God for all of eternity. It's going to be awesome. And you might as well start, you know, we might as well start doing that the way that God wants us to here and now. So today we're going to be reading, I'll start reading in verse 32. We've already covered that, and then we'll pick up our discussion in 34. It says, "They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his Holy Spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. And those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity." That's where I'm going to end the reading for today. So on yesterday's program, we had spoken about how that the children of Israel had lived a life of rebellion against the Holy Spirit, and it not only brought consequence to them and to their entire generation, but it also led to a disqualification of Moses and Aaron getting to enter into the Promised Land. In Numbers, I believe it's in Numbers, it talks about that Moses and Aaron had not trusted in God to the point of honoring him as holy in the sight of the people. That's one side of this. The second side of this is that his response to the people's rebellion resulted in rash speaking, which led to rash actions, led to a prideful moment where he said, "Must we deliver water from this rock for you instead of God?" And so we have to be careful to make sure that the way that we respond is not going to be in an ungodly manner. So that's tough. We live in a very reactionary society. It is natural to want to lash back out at a person who has lashed out against us. And whenever we do respond, we need to understand that people many times will evaluate our response more critically than they will evaluate the action that happened in the first place. You see this sometimes in football games and things like that. A player comes up and pushes the other one. That person doesn't get penalized because the ref didn't see it, but the person they pushed reacts to what was done to them, and then they end up getting the 15-yard penalty, or they get to sit out the rest of the game, or whatever. So we've got to make sure that God is the God not only of our actions, but he is the God of our reactions as well. So verse number 34 describes how the people of Israel hindered their praise once they get into the promised land. It said they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. God had told them that they were not supposed to happily coexist with the people who were being dispossessed from the land because of their sin and their ungodliness and the plague of issues that was coming upon the people of the land because of their idolatry and their ungodliness. And so I would tell you that any time that we disobey, and let me define disobey, partial obedience is still disobedience. We can see that in the life of King Saul, where he was told that he was supposed to do something and he didn't do it to the extent he was supposed to. And he was so deceived that he said, "I have fully obeyed everything that the Lord has told me." And Saul said, "What is the sound of the bleating of the sheep that I hear in my ears?" So I have an example that I use that even though we have good intentions sometimes, if we don't have full understanding, it can lead to undesirable results. When I was a kid, I decided I was going to make pancakes for breakfast for my family. My mother did not use a pancake mix. She mixed the ingredients herself. And part of those ingredients was baking powder. But I did not necessarily know that there was a difference between baking powder and baking soda. One of them you cook with, the other one takes the smell out of your refrigerator. And I substituted the wrong ingredient and got not pancakes. They may have been cakes, but they certainly weren't edible. And that was when my mother told me about the mistake that I had made. It was unintentional. I messed up the recipe unintentionally. I didn't get all of the right ingredients there. We live our lives sometimes and we unintentionally make a mistake. But there are other times when we willfully and intentionally disobey, and that is not a good thing at all. Disobedience will cause us not to praise God. It overestimates what our opinion is, and it undermines the reality of what God has said. In verse number 35, it says, "They mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works, and they served their idols, which became a snare to them." What happened was, rather than viewing themselves as a people of distinction, they wanted to become just like everybody else. I grew up in a time where there was a lot of change in the fashion sense of the generation that was coming up. And a lot of the people that I grew up with were saying things, "Look, when they were having generational issues with their parents, is I've got to be me. I've got to, you know, just be unique." And their uniqueness made them look just like everybody else. I worked for a lot of years in retail, and the retail environment was in malls back when malls were very popular. They were much safer, and there were anchor stores that would be around throughout the mall, and then that led to smaller businesses being in there. Rents were really pretty high in malls back then. I don't know so much about now. It's kind of reverted back to a trend of outdoor malls. But anyway, back to my story. And so one day I decided I was going to walk around the other stores in the mall to see what they were selling as opposed to what was being sold in the store that I worked in and managed, the shoe store. And come to find out, there was one particular thing that I saw there, although there were many different ones, and that was that these stores were almost all offering the exact same product. Now, there were private labels and stuff like that, and there were some exclusives, but to a large extent, they were offering the same product of the same brand at the same price. And even as a guy in my 20s, I said, that really doesn't make any sense. What is it that makes you different? What is it that makes people want to come to you and partake of the product that you are offering? Well, for the people of God, it was the God that they worshiped. They were the only monotheistic religion. The Jewish people were the only monotheistic religion on the planet at that point in time. And everybody else was polytheistic, or they worshiped pantheism or you know, whatever. But they worshiped the one true God, and that was their mark of distinction. God had a relationship with them. He was not a God that was made in the image of the people. He was the God who made the people in his image. It was distinction, and God was the head of their society, and they, when they came under attack, they said, what we need when we're under attack is we need a king just like everybody else. Only that wasn't what they needed. What they really needed was a heart for God. So let me ask you this. Is the church in 2025, are we trying to become just like every other part of society, or are we trying to become the royal priesthood, the special people that God instructs us to be in 1 Peter? Because we're not supposed to be just like the world. We're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors. And, you know, I'm thankful for all of the different churches that preach the word of God and lead people to Jesus. Merit Assembly of God is not trying to become just like all of the other churches. We're trying to be the church that God wants us to be. We're an older congregation. We're not trying to marginalize senior citizens. We're thankful for them. And by that, I mean, we appreciate them. We build relationship. We pray for them. We visit them, and we let them know, hey, if you're still breathing, you still have purpose. And we're not exclusively ministering to that group of people. Instead, we realize that it's generation ministering to other generations. And so That's what goes on at Merit Assembly of God. We're also Pentecostal and unashamedly so. Now, when you come to Merit Assembly of God, I will tell you, in one Sunday, I had two people that came up and told me that they weren't coming back. One of them said, you're too Pentecostal. The other one said, you're not Pentecostal enough. And so you're going to find churches that are way more demonstrative than we are. And, you'll find some that, you know, might think that we're too demonstrative for them. I gave up trying to imitate other people a long time ago. When you come to Merit Assembly of God, I will be just as much, Bob Arthur's on the day that you visit as I am here on the radio. This is who I am. No pretense, no imitation. I'm just me. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I love Jesus, and I want as many people as I know to know him as Lord and Savior. So the Jewish people got into trouble because they started mingling and diluting themselves. And the next thing you knew, that becoming just like everybody else led them to worshiping the idols that everybody else worshiped instead of the one true God. It became a snare to them, and the snare was very costly. It says in verse 37, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. So if you ever cease to value children, it's going to cause you to not want to praise God. We are very intentional about reaching out to children and to young people, because we have a responsibility to share the love of Jesus with them, to share the truth of God with them. And so we want to be very intentional about it. Children are not an inconvenience. They are an inheritance. And what happens whenever you have idolatry and immorality that come into a convergence there, what you are going to have is you're going to have children that people find to be an inconvenience that interrupts their life, and they view children as a consequence instead of a blessing. I want you to know children are an inheritance. They are heritage from the Lord, and they are innocent. It says here, and shed innocent blood. That means that they are blameless. There have been millions and millions of innocent children that have paid the price with their life for something that they were not responsible for. And this particular sin, there's a passage that talks about that one of the reason that the 10 northern tribes were carried off into captivity was because they made their children pass through the fire of Molech. This is not a social issue. This is a spiritual issue. And I want you to know that if you're alive, you're special to God. You're not inconvenient. And, you know, too many times society has somebody else pay for their own mistakes. And I pray that we don't do that. Now, let me say this. If you are a person, particularly a woman, because women tend to carry this heavier than men do. If you are a woman and maybe this is a part of your past, I want you to know that there is redemption, that there's forgiveness, that there is healing. I preached a message one time, didn't know, I don't know every detail about the past of the people who are sitting there hearing my message that God has laid on my heart. And I was talking about the healing that God provides. Even for people who've done, you know, what's talked about here. And there was a person that came up and said, "Thank you so much." He said, "I have carried the guilt of aborting my baby for decades. I've never been able to get rid of the guilt." And I want you to know that Moses, David, the Apostle Paul, all of them were trophies of God's amazing grace. And so I want to tell you that if you have repented of that sin, that God's love, mercy, and forgiveness is available there to empower you so that you can be a testimony to others so that they don't make the same mistake you did. What this was here in this particular case, it describes that these were sacrifices for demonic favor. Look, I don't need the devil's favor. What I do need is God's favor in my life. And if you have ever found yourself, and there's been a lot of people who have been influenced by deception over the past several years. The Bible talks about in the last days that people would follow deceiving spirits, demonic spirits. And if you have found yourself pursuing demonic favor instead of godly favor, I want to tell you, the devil is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus comes that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He came with the mercy of God so that you and I could walk in the favor of God. You don't need somebody telling you your horoscope. You don't need to be pursuing manipulation. You don't need to be messing with or experimenting with, especially this time of year when there's so much demonic influence in our culture. But what we need is we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to be seeking the face of God. We need to be seeking the favor of God, because when we find him, we're going to praise him. He is worth finding. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."